The first part of this covered how sugar and all of its chemical imitations, such as high fructose corn syrup, how it does affect your mind. It can affect behavior. And today I would like to show, this afternoon, how we got in the situation we are in spite of the many medical warnings, looking at sugar as a stimulant in the early 20th century, as well as throughout the many centuries, how we got to the place we are at today. And I hope it'll be a lesson in discernment in regard to other issues and other areas of your life. Let's pray. Dear Holy God, we do pray that You help us understand Thy Word. Help us, Lord, to hear preaching that belongs to us, God. So often people expect others to hear their sins and their bad habits rebuked. But, oh Lord, we pray that You'll give Your people a good spirit, Lord, to not be rebellious and to receive and suffer the word of exhortation. Help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank You. Amen. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That's what we're trying to do in these last days. And remember, if Jesus warned you against good food, surfeiting, overcharging your heart, how much more do we need biblical warnings in these last days against that which is not a food? Okay? So I don't apologize one bit for what we're doing here. We've got good biblical precedent. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You don't want anything clouding your mind, clouding your judgment. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what God wants. That's the Spirit-filled life. That is not a life on drugs and stimulants. That is not an irritable, anxious, paranoid, depressed, frustrated Christian, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How did we get in the situation we are in today? I think the answer is found in Mark chapter 5, verse 26. This woman had suffered many things of who? Many physicians. Not some physicians, many physicians. And had spent all that she had and was what? Nothing bettered, but rather what? Grew worse. I'm going to tell you that not long ago, over a century or so ago, they found out that if you put expert on it, you can deceive people. But they had to pay the experts. And they found out that there were many experts that would be glad to receive a paycheck and allow you to use their name. For example, more doctors, according to this ad, smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Look down here. The doctor's choice is what? America's choice. There it is right there. The doctor's choice. What are you supposed to believe from this? You're supposed to believe that the doctors choose one of the strongest cigarettes. So you should do the same. There's advertising in America. How many people believe that got lung cancer? I wonder. How many people believe that got high on cigarettes, ended up in divorce? You might be the children of a broken family that was high on cigarettes and couldn't survive a marriage because of emotional turmoil. You know, that reminds me of the 1920s where they came out with trans fats and Crisco. And they put many experts now understand the dangers of butter. And Dr. So-and-so says that you ought to use this new product we got in a jar that just sits over there, you know. And put that inside your arteries because the experts say it's good. And so 50, 60 years, this evidence started coming out that we think this slop is really clogging people's arteries and God never intended you to eat it. And they were buried. They denied the reports. They mocked the people that were speaking against Crisco. But now, all of those organizations, right down to Kroger itself, have warnings, be careful of trans fats. So they switched total gears. The people that gave the warning against it were right. You say, well, how would I have known when all these experts told us it was okay? Because God never said eat nothing called Crisco. Right there in your Bible. There's butter, right? That's in the Bible, isn't it? Don't say nothing about no margarine. So a man comes along and wants to improve upon God, say, wrong answer. Sorry, you can't improve on God. Here's an example, just to show you how sugar has controlled many physicians. Here's a good example right now from cchealth.org. Dr. Walker resigns membership in American Academy of Family Physicians to protest its partnership with Coca-Cola. Isn't that nice? The American Academy of Family Physicians in partnership with who? Coca-Cola. Wonder what they're going to say about sugar. Praise God, more than 20 doctors joined Contra Costa Health Services Director Dr. William Walker on October 28th at the Contra Costa Regional Medical Center to protest the new partnership between the American Academy of Family Physicians and the Coca-Cola Company. Dr. Walker, a 25-year member, resigned from the organization saying he could not support an organization that claims to promote public health while joining forces with a company that promotes products that put our children at risk for obesity, heart disease, and early death. Some of you may remember the 1940s and 50s when physicians were used on billboards and magazine ads to promote tobacco smoking. I just showed you some. Look beyond the glitzy advertising that makes you think pouring liquid containing sugar into your body is healthy. Amen. At least there's a few good doctors. But guess what? Whenever doctors resign the FDA, resign these medical associations, guess what happens in the press? They are blackballed as quacks. You understand? That basically, all throughout the press, they say, you'll never work again in America after what we do to you. And so that's why there's so many that are afraid. You've got these big homes, you've got insurance, you've got your wife's car, you've got all of this stuff, and I'm going to lose everything just to make a stand? You really have some crossroads situations. Doctors have to face it. You understand that? Well, this goes back. Notice, bittersweet, the story of sugar. Tobias Venner wrote in 1620 that sugar, by how much the whiter it is, by so much the purer and wholesomer it is. That's what happened in the Orient, where they came out and the religious leaders said, if it's white rice, it's pure. So all of these people switched from the brown rice that had all the nutrients to the white rice, and they started suffering health problems. See, false prophets. Jesus never told you any mess like that. See, false prophets. Well, this man back in 1620, he says, it's pure. When the whole problem is, it's bad to begin with, and the so-called purer it becomes, the more vitamins it loses. Venner also argued that tobacco was health-giving. He was a smart fellow, wasn't he? So, when you have people like this, deceiving the public, you can see why people don't know which way to turn. Simon Pauli, in a treatise on tobacco, tea, coffee, and chocolate in 1665, also warned against sugar. So there are plenty of voices that were telling you that this is a drug, this is a stimulant, and you ought to beware of it. But you had these guys, they're like, smoke tobacco, it doesn't matter, this is good stuff. Now, this reminds me of what happened in 1908. The Western Medical Review by Nebraska State Medical Association. You wouldn't believe this guy. Much of what's wrong with America, you can pretty much put at the feet of Dr. Woods Hutchinson. When Dr. Wood Hutchinson lived, it was during a time when the majority of the medical establishment had basically reported that cane sugar was right there equal with cocaine and opium, and it was a stimulant. So you had to have men like Dr. Woods Hutchinson stand up and say, here it is, eat more candy. In a paper in Woman's Home Companion, Dr. Woods Hutchinson says there would be little need of cod liver oil if children were given plenty of pure sugar. How much? Plenty of pure sugar, taffy, and butterscotch. In short, he says sugar is, after meat, bread, and butter, easily our next most important and necessary food. Easily our most important and necessary food. So that's over carrots and broccoli and vegetables and all that kind of stuff. Isn't that nice? Sugar. Pretty smart guy, huh? The only thing that can take the place of sugar here is beer or wine.
Oh, isn't that good?
In fine, the prejudice against sugar is born of Puritanism and stinginess. So, you can basically convince anybody of anything if you just say, they're just a bunch of Pharisees. They're just a bunch of legalists. They're just a bunch of Puritans. And people run and react to that. They say, I don't want to be a Puritan. Here, eat more candy. Whatever children cry for must be bad for them, according to the pure doctrine of original sin. So now what is he mocking? He's mocking your Bible. He says, if they desire it, obviously it must be wrong, according to these Pharisees. Now, that convinced people. Do you understand? Even though you had all these physicians warning you about the drug, men like this, were very influential. Oh, here's a headline. Hell's the short skirt. Dr. Woods Hutchinson declares it's the outcome of woman's freedom. Isn't that nice? I'm still trying to deal with that today. We're still trying to get women modest today. Men like this established, help confirm women in their sin. You have an entire so-called sexual revolution because women started being immodest. In the New York Times in 1921, the short skirt is here forever. Now, what they were calling short, believe me, was not what they'd call short today. In the opinion of Dr. Woods Hutchinson, who says it's the outcome of freedom in athletics and freedom from household drudgery. That's what you need is an expert to come and say, you're tired of housework, aren't you? Don't you want to be free from housework? Don't you want to wear a short skirt? I have never read a man that embodied Satan more than this man. That's how you got sugar in America today. That's one of the ways you got sugar in America. You ladies. Everyone is picking on the women these days. Nobody's picking on them. They're saying if you continue in your immodesty and your cross-dressing, you're going to have a whole civilization fall into homosexuality and a sexual revolution, just like it happened. Everyone is picking on the women these days because of their abbreviated skirt. Nobody's picking on them. They're trying to shame them and say, get dressed before your children take it an extra few inches. And their children take it another few inches. Folks are also complaining of her Amazon-like development. Housework is a relic of the Dark Ages. The short skirt is the healthiest and the most beautiful. Right there with candy bars. Housework! A relic of the Dark Ages. I tell you what, that's a nice man, huh? Oh, he's not done. New York Times, Mr. Sugar Man himself, 1912. He's got to combat these doctors. Somebody's got to stand up. They have to have a man stand up and basically give the other side. Otherwise, Big Sugar's in trouble. Would check all birth defects. Dr. Wood Hutchinson, clinical professor of medicine at the New York Polyclinic, says hope of the race is in negative eugenics. What does that mean? Keep them from having children. Take the criminals. take the defects and keep them from having babies. Evil instincts, hereditary, favors segregation of the ill-born. He was enthusiastically applauded in his speech before the American Public Health Association. Hutchinson said the first thing to be done is determine who the unfit children are, by census, of course. Then they must be segregated or sterilized. Now, so this man, eat lots of candy. Women, dress immodest and get rid of your housework. And eugenics, Planned Parenthood. Woods Hutchinson's, who died in 1930, became a professor of clinical medicine at the New York Polyclinic. He was the author of The Gospel According to Who? Darwin, 1898. So basically, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had who? The gospel of Darwin. The traditional religious views of man were, for Hutchinson, one of the obstacles to further progress. What does he say? You got to get rid of the Bible or we'll never get to where we need in America. He wanted an immodest, feminist, eugenic, Planned Parenthood, candy bar, eaten, addicted generation. He's pretty much got his dream, hasn't he, today? He called the camp meeting exhorter with his hellfire and brimstone a follower of Satan. He didn't believe in Satan, but he had to call him whatever name he could think of. Basically, what does that mean? He hates preachers. I bet he does hate preachers, because they expose false prophets like this. Hutchinson looked to evolution for moral guidance. There is no God but the good, says Hutchinson. A chapter in his Darwin book is titled The Beauty of Death. Now, let me tell you something. Jesus cried at death. Do you know death is a curse? Do you know death is not beautiful? Do you know Jesus came to this earth to free us from death because of our sin? Do you know death is an enemy according to the Bible? Do you know this man who says eat more sugar, before he put out the reports eat more sugar, says death is beautiful? He said what's injurious to America is a belief in a future life. If you believe there's a future life, that's what's wrong with America today. In his book in 1911, We and Our Children, Dr. Woods says sugar eating and candy gorging is denounced without stint, both by mothers in Israel, hard-headed economists, and diet reformers of all classes. Yes, it is. It is bewailed as the dietetic sin of the century, the cause of the decay of modern teeth, of the alleged decline of the modern physique and vigor, the fertile cause of fermentations and putrefactions in the stomach and bowels, the shortener of life and precipitator of old age, while an alarming list of the ills of 20th century humanity, such as diabetes, gout, cancer, nervous diseases, are laid at its door. This eager thirst invented the devil in primitive times. They're saying these people that are against sugar, they also invented Satan. No, Satan's a real being. And the drink demon. I believe in a drink demon. The cigarette fiend. Basically, he's saying they're basically taking cigarettes and drink and create monsters all out of them. And the sugar habit of our own day. In other words, you're a bunch of witch-burning Puritans, see. The truth be known, they were probably on some kind of drug. The very authorities who are most vehement against sugar are at the same time, like most diet reformers of today, ardent and devoted worshipers of starch, every particle of which has to be turned into sugar before it can be utilized by the body. This lie has been repeated ever since this doctor gave it. What he says is all sugar's the same. All starch is the same. Do you understand that barley plucked off of a field and eaten in your hands is something different than a refined white bread or a white potato? Do you understand the difference between an apple? Now, they don't understand the difference because they don't want to understand the difference, see. They want to say potato, banana, it's all the same thing. The last ground of prejudice against sugar, that of its newness, is interesting from several points of view. There is no more favorite and irrepressible delusion of the human mind than that this particular age in which we live is a degenerate one. That's a delusion if you believe the 20th century is degenerate. Tomatoes are gravely accused of being the cause of cancer, the cigarette of every variety of youthful depravity, and sugar as the fruitful mother of a whole brood of diseases and degeneracies. Sugar unquestionably is a surprisingly modern luxury, and it's hard for us to realize sometimes that up to about 150 years ago, almost the only concentrated or pure form of sugar available was honey or dried tropical fruits like figs and dates, or in certain districts, maple sugar. He thinks he's helping his case. He's hurting his case. It was emphatically a rare and expensive luxury. Are you understanding how it works? I want you to see firsthand, you demonize your opponent, you make him look stupid, and then somehow or another you get the press and you get the front page. For some reason, how is that? How does that work? And then you basically say, all sugar's the same. It doesn't matter where it comes from. All right, here's another one. 1913, New York Times. Eat pie, says physician. Dr. Woods Hutchinson. If this guy wasn't so demonic, I mean, this is... Dr. Woods Hutchinson, the medical writer, came to the defense of pie. His theory is eat when and where and what one wants. Nice theory, huh? This is one of the men responsible for where you're at in America. You had these other doctors and you had this man. Somebody's got to get the press. Somebody's got to get control. And America went with this man. America went with this side of thing. They went with the feminism, the short skirts, and the Planned Parenthood, and the Coke that's basically destroying the generations. If you really think about it, I think somebody wants to destroy them. It's probably part of their eugenics program. You know what I mean? If abortion doesn't get them, then Walmart will get them. See, I think that's how they're thinking. Now, interestingly, he had to cancel his lectures because he had such poor health. That's back in 1912. So the man had a miserable life. Probably about as worse as this man was Dr. Frederick Stair, who ran the Harvard Department of Nutrition, supported by the sugar industry. This man would be in every magazine in the 70s and 60s telling you Snickers bars and candy bars and Cokes and salt, they're good for you. You know, it's okay. Who's he funded by? Sugar, just as plain as can be, documented as plain as can be, funded by money from the sugar industry. Beware of what you read, even if they try to cover up the tracks. See, you got to understand the tobacco companies own the food companies today. You got to go through and look through and follow who gave money, who funded this research, where does it come from? And people have got used to basically following the money that they've learned to kind of hide it and that type of thing. But Stephen Sinatra in Sugar Shot says, I saw that sugar, not cholesterol, was the real evil. The American public and even doctors were being improperly educated. There is no drug patent on blood sugar. Most doctors are educated by the pharmaceutical industry through drug reps. Sugar is not your friend. Basically, he's saying they're putting them on cholesterol medicine when what they need to do is take them off sugar. He said, but the reason they won't tell you to get off sugar is there's no money in that. You can't go tell. They're not going to report this. They don't want you to understand that that's how you solve your problem. That's the end of their drug money. These hired experts are now telling you that sugar is not much worse than white bread or white potatoes. But my question is this, what does that prove? Do you understand that doesn't prove white potatoes and white bread's good for you? That's what they're saying. That's how the argument goes. Diabetes, that's what they say. Now, do you understand? White bread and white potatoes will do almost the same thing that sugar does. And so, the common American says, oh, well, that's true. We can't give up French fries. Well, you haven't proved your point. All you're saying is basically things are worse than we thought. Dr. Schwarzbein, They're saying that sugar and simple carbs and complex carbs are all the same. They're not all the same. I'm going to tell you something today. That little Debbie's cake, all of that sugar, if you don't know the difference between that and a fig, may God help you. You understand that? If you can't go to Whole Foods and buy you a fig or a date and eat that and not know that there's a difference between that and a Snickers bar, may God help you. You say, well, the Diabetes Foundation told me they were the same. Because they need money. They don't get money by curing diabetes. They get money by perpetuating the disease. In Facts About Sugar in 1914, as far back as 1882, T. Cranston Charles asserted that a temporary glycosuria could be induced by a diet too rich in sugar. That's a preform of diabetes. The development of full-blown diabetes was an easy step from the temporary. What did they find out? Over and over again, just like in the early 1600s, they're finding out there's something about sugar and diabetes. Knock, knock. Dr. Scott Olson in Sugarettes says the American Diabetes Association has learned, as you have, that the glycemic index of a brownie is similar to the glycemic index of a potato. But instead of saying that you should stay away from both of these, they have concluded that both are okay to eat. You say, but weren't potatoes in the Bible? No. As long as your diabetic child is taking insulin, that is. Is it merely a coincidence that both diabetes and sugar consumption have skyrocketed in the last 50 years? So what are they saying? They're saying, well, just follow the glycemic index. That's what you want to look at. So they've got people walking around worshiping this glycemic index when it basically says, do whatever you want, just follow these numbers. When that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be eating good food, so it's going to keep people addicted to sugar and perpetuate their diabetes. You understand that? Let me show you how this works. Let's go to sugar.org, run by the sugar industry. The Sugar Association is very disappointed that a premier health organization such as the American Heart Association would issue a scientific statement titled Dietary Sugar Intake and Cardiovascular Health. Dietary interventions that focus on the reduction of individual nutrients will continue to obscure the most important message. If someone consumes more calories, no matter what the source, there will be problem. Sugar is all natural and just 15 calories and is an important ingredient in many healthy foods. Did they say it's a healthy food? No, they got to protect themselves from lawsuits. So they say it's an important ingredient. Well, what do you mean important? Now the American at Walmart can say, well, it tastes good. And the sugar industry can say, that's what we meant by important. It tastes good. But notice, they call it a nutrient. They're going to be in danger of lawsuit for putting that word nutrient there. And notice they're mad at the American Heart Association now because more and more medical folks are starting to try to jump off the bandwagon and say, wait a second. They see what's coming down the road. They see the science that's coming out. But the sugar industry's mad. They're saying, what are they doing? Focus on calories. Why do they want you to focus on calories? So that way you don't know the difference between a fig and a fig Newton. See, that's what they're hoping. The difference between an apple and an Oreo. Focus on calories. See. Sugar is all natural. What? So is cocaine. What does that mean? In 1924, Dr. Steele Harris discovered low blood sugar, but he was ignored. Since the cure for it all, basically people who eat sugar end up with low blood sugar. And some more than others, but this is really, in general, everybody probably is going to get it soon enough because you're stressing yourself to pretty soon you end up with this low blood sugar problem. And he basically said the cure is staying away from sugar and coffee. Now, the medical establishment didn't like that at all. So it took them 25 years to give this man an award. And then after they gave him an award, they took it back. Or they turned against him. Likewise, Dr. Banning, who discovered insulin, warned people against sugar. So basically, the whole foundation of what we know about diabetes, all of these men said, stay away from sugar. But do you hear that today? Hardly never. A Japanese doctor says Western medicine will one day admit what was known in the Orient for years. Sugar is the greatest evil that modern industrial civilization has visited upon the countries of the Far East and Africa. No Western doctor can cure diabetes, even 30 years after the discovery of insulin. Once they begin taking insulin, they can expect to feed the pockets of the doctors and pharmaceutical corporations as long as they live. He went on to warn against white rice. He rebuked Western doctors for putting carbs in one giant box. And he said, look what they're doing in the press. They're saying, carb, carb. They draw your little chart, and you have your protein, and you have your carb. And basically, I stay away from carb. What? That's like the Atkins diet, you know, I got to stay away from carb. Well, basically, that you can't just say, I'm going to stay away from carbs. There's good carbs, there's bad carbs. See, there's good food you should be eating, and there's bad food you shouldn't be eating. But this is how they trick you. This is the scam. Dr. Guilin reproved the AMA in 1953 for failing to alert people to how they can be cured of so-called low blood sugar by stopping sugar and refined flour. William Duffy says a science writer trained at Harvard and MIT wandered through countless consultation rooms before he found a doctor who took him off sugar. I mean, he went through every type of consultation and meeting and operation, all these things, until he finally found one doctor that took him off sugar. A.W. Pizette saw his symptoms fade. He asked some hard questions of his physician, Dr. E.M. Abrahamson. Why do so many doctors know little or nothing about these many symptoms which afflict millions of people? What happened to medical education? In 1951, this man and his doctor both published Body, Mind, and Sugar, showing the relationship between sugar and this mass epidemic of low blood sugar, which comes from, and this is what they want you to think, low blood sugar, go eat an Oreo. So you hear people walking down the road, I've got my sugar's dropping, let me get a piece of candy, see. That's what they want you to think. Instead of, I need to sit down and eat a fiber-rich meal with some good quality carbs and protein, the way they did it in the Bible, as he'd have fish and he'd have honey. In other words, they always mixed the good protein with a good carb and they ate it together. It was fiber rich and full of nutrients. Just stick with God. Just stick with the Bible. You'll be decades ahead of these people. In Hindu, says Frederick Madison Allen, in studies concerning glycosuria and diabetes in 1913, in Hindu medical writings of the 6th century, the disease was given the name Madhumeha, or honey urine. A passage translated by Chunder Bose is as follows. This is the disease which the rich principally suffer from, and is brought on by their overindulgence in rice, flour, and sugar. Do you understand? This is going way back centuries ago. They said, you keep eating that sugar, you're going to have diabetes. Men have always known that. It's not a new disease. Now, in one sense, it's new because everybody's hooked on sugar. You never had an epidemic of it like we have today. But ancient man's always known that you really ought to quit gorging on that stuff. You're going to have trouble. Even God said honey will make you sick if you're gluttonous. How much more so something he never told you to eat? An early European observer, according to William Duffy, credits the widespread use of sugar by Arab desert fighters as the reason for their loss of cutting edge. Leonard Rehwoff is the German botanist. His journals published in 1573 notices the Turks and Moors cut off one piece of sugar after another and so chew and eat them openly everywhere in the street without shame and are no longer the fighters they had formerly been. Rehwoff viewed sugar addiction among the Sultan's armies in much the same way as modern observers discovering American forces in Asia hooked on heroin and marijuana. It's interesting how it took the fight out of these men. They began to be slouchy. Basically, they're having blood sugar issues off of sugar cane. way back then. Jack Chellum, nutrition reporter, who wrote The Inflammation Syndrome, says in some ways the whole glycemic index is a rationalization for processed foods. And they're finding out it's not even scientific now. They're finding out that some other foods that they thought were safe are actually, they're not even carbs, but yet they affect your blood sugar. So now they're almost trashing the whole glycemic index anyway. And I'm not saying there's no value in it, but I'm just telling you, if you eat right and follow God's plan and eat the way God wanted you to eat, these things solve themselves, see. New York Times, May 2005, says, low carbs? Who cares? Sugar is the latest supermarket demon. Now, here's what I'm angry about. Pretty soon, maybe you'll have Christians jumping on the bandwagon. I'm upset that Christians aren't leading the way when God calls us the light of the world. I'm upset that you have to take a back seat and have to wait years and years and years, then finally you get it. It makes us look so pathetic. You understand that? High fructose corn syrup is now considered more dangerous to diabetics. In 2002, the American Diabetes Association reversed its position, saying to avoid it, except naturally in fruits. But they still allow sugar. They pretend that what is in the fruit is what is in the high fructose corn syrup. All mainstream food companies use high fructose corn syrup. And we know that tobacco companies run many of the so-called food companies. This is very interesting. After all these years of telling you, oh, high fructose corn syrup is okay, now they reverse gears and say, if you're diabetic or expect that you're about to be, don't touch high fructose corn syrup. It's okay to have sugar. Is that nutty? I'm glad they're finally warning you against high fructose corn syrup. That's even official now. But why don't they get totally official and say, why don't you stay away from sugar? In 1999, the American Diabetes Research Association reversed its view and now suggests sugar. Some doctors left the association that day. I wonder how much money was paid for them to reverse their view and tell you to have a little bit of sugar. And not tell you there's a difference between what's in an apple and what's in a candy bar. Dr. Alex Gibson, The Case Against Sugar in 1917, says, grounded upon the grim facts of personal experience, Dr. Charles Mayo of Rochester, Minnesota, a surgeon of worldwide reputation, has made the statement that the occurrence of cancer in the field of surgery has increased 700% during the last 12 years. Closely sifting the evidences at hand, Dr. Mayo arrives at the conclusion that this ominous increase can have its sole physiological explanation in errors connected with current methods of food preparation. If this be so, the all-important question to determine is the nature of the particular food, so-called, that's causing the cancer. The indulgence in meat per capita is unmistakably on a decrease. There is one ingredient, however, in our diet that invites the suspicion of every thoughtful student. It is an ingredient, the indulgence of which has increased in a ratio directly corresponding to the increases in deadliness of cancer. It must be sugar. And with the exception of a few pseudoscientific writers of the sensational type, talking about the one guy that we've been reading about, the conviction that sugar is a danger food is rapidly taking hold of our most advanced authorities on diet. So he's calling this Woods fellow the sensational type, but he's getting all the press. But meanwhile, all of the doctors are saying, this stuff's leading to cancer and diabetes, you need to stay away from it. Dr. Elmer Lee, Dr. H. Ellington Brook, Professor B. H. Jones, Dr. E. Elmer Keeler, Dr. Harvey W. Wiley, Dr. John Tilden, and others are constantly warning the public for the danger to health in the issue, the use of manufactured sweets. In a recent article in his Health Department of Good Housekeeping, Dr. Harvey Wiley makes the statement that up to this their present age of 7 and 9 years, his two boys have had no candy of any kind, no sweets or sugar outside of that contained in the natural fruits. And other than the good palm sugar, that's how I run my house. And believe me, if you need it sweeter than a date, you've got problems. You really do. If you need it sweeter than honey, something's wrong. And if that's not sweet to you, somebody messed you up really bad. Cancer feeds on sugar. Even after this man, they found this out in the 30s, and Warburg won the Nobel Prize for his find that cancer cells need sugar, and they feed upon it. And when you put it in your body, it goes directly to those cancer cells and feeds them, and they grow, and they thrive upon it. Which is why you want whatever so-called sugar goes in your body is locked with all of these anti-cancer guards that God puts in the food itself to go through so you can get the energy you need, but you have all the anti-cancer protection that God gave the grape and the other foods, see. But when you just digest this other stuff, it goes right in your body and feeds that cancer. For example, Kellogg. The man responsible for Kellogg Corn Flakes. I remember back when I first got married, I used to eat Kellogg's, and they had this one brand that didn't have any sugar. And one day they came out and put sugar in it. And I was like, what in the world's going on? Mr. Kellogg would basically pass out, you know, if he knew this is what you were doing. And finally they took it out of that particular one. I don't know if it's still out of there or not. But anyway, Mr. Kellogg wrote, "Cane sugar is a defective food and an irritant," in 1909. He says, "I met one of the leading dentists of Chicago. I think he's president of the Odontological Society of that city. And he remarked to me that he recognized the fact that the teeth of the people of the United States and of all civilized countries are rapidly deteriorating. There are some causes for this universal decay of the teeth, and probably one of the chief causes is the extensive use of cane sugar. There is another objection to the use of cane sugar. It's an irritant. I advise you to discard the use of cane sugar." And he knew how to use healthy sugars, so-called. Dr. R. Rossler and Sugar, the Cause of Tooth Decay, a paper read before the New Jersey State Dental Society in 1910. Since the dentists are the first ones who see this work of destruction caused by sugar, by the way, they admit this now. So, after years of trying to hide it, the so-called authorities now admit that there's a link between sugar and rotting your teeth. Now, why in the world they don't say, then we want worldwide around America to quit eating it? I don't know why they don't put two and two together. This man says, probably one of the chief causes is the extensive use of cane sugar. I'm sorry, where are we at? Sugar is no food whatever. Therefore, sugar is an enemy of civilization. Everyone who desires to be an honest citizen must attack the lie which declares that sugar is beneficial. That's back when dentists could be trusted. Paul Heitzner's Travels in 1598 says her teeth, Queen Elizabeth, are black from eating too much sugar. Remember, only the queens at that time, only the royalty could have the new cocaine that was floating around at that time. Not the common people, but the royalty and the super rich could have that imported. Nancy Appleton in Lick the Sugar Habit says the harmful effect of sugar on the calcium-phosphorus ratio was first discovered by Dr. Melvin Page, a dentist. He discovered that sugar caused the phosphorus and calcium levels to become unbalanced. Once Dr. Page took his patients off sugar and put them on whole foods, their dental problems began to disappear, as did many other problems. Ingesting sugar increases the rate at which we excrete calcium, making bones fragile. So it's not just, I'm going to take some phosphorus, I'm going to take some calcium, because I need some. No, it's a balance. You have to have, it's like B vitamin. You have to have the exact balance that only food can give you. See, this is why you can't take artificial synthetic supplements and think you're getting somewhere, really. You have to have a balance between these things. And God knows how to give you the balance through life-giving food. Dr. Scott Olson in Sugarettes says you may know that sugar is bad for your teeth, but somehow it's still okay to eat. How can this be? If it's responsible for destroying our teeth, one of the hardest substances in the human body, if we were meant to eat sugar, shouldn't our teeth be able to handle them? Appleton in Lick the Sugar Habit says, I was a sugarholic and a chocoholic. Every tooth in my mouth was eventually filled. I had continual bouts with pneumonia. My immune system was being weakened. Not one doctor ever asked, what do you put in your mouth? What do you eat? Nicholas Perricone, dermatologist, says sugar is toxic. The chief culprits in the pro-inflammatory arena are sugars and cookies and desserts and potatoes. My 2 decades in private dermatology practice has confirmed my belief that sugar is extremely damaging to the skin. In fact, to all organ systems. If you want bad skin, as a woman, as a boy, walk around with junk food. And if anybody tells you there's no link, they're lying to you. They want to sell junk food. So they put out this lie. Whatever your grandmother or great-grandmother knew about sugar is true today. They've never disproven any of that. It gives you cavities. It messes up your skin and a whole bunch of other things. It's all true. It's never been proven untrue. They're lying to you. Dr. Perricone goes on to say, if sugar is bad for the brain, it's horrible for the skin. Nancy Appleton, again, in Lick the Sugar Habit, says your body needs only 2 teaspoons of blood sugar. And how many do you get in a Coke? Something like 17. And that's not even the sugar God gave you. This amount can be obtained easily through the digestion of unrefined carbohydrate, proteins, and fat. You ever been in a conversation with somebody and said, no, I don't do that. You know, we stay away from that because it's dangerous. And they say, well, you gotta have sugar. Your brain needs sugar. You got to have sugar to live. Well, go eat your vegetables then. Go eat your vegetables and you'll get all the sugar you need the way God intended you to have it. Unrefined carbohydrates, which is barley, whole wheat, oats, vegetables. Nancy Appleton, she has documentation for all of this. I obviously don't have time to give you documentation. But she proves that sugar can suppress the immune system. We know that. The more you eat sugar, the more you get sick with bacteria infections. Upset the body's mineral balance. And who knows what that's leading to hormonally in your life when you've got all these minerals out of balance. Cause hyperactivity, anxiety, concentration difficulties, crankiness in children, drowsiness, rise in triglycerides, weakened defense against bacterial infections, kidney damage, interferes with absorption of calcium and magnesium, leads to cancer, weakens eyesight, causes hypoglycemia, which is really just an effect of eating sugar, acidic stomach, raises adrenaline levels, speeds the aging process, alcoholism, tooth decay, obesity, arthritis, asthma, stones, heart disease, allergies, diabetes, toxemia, eczema, emphysema, free radical formation, fatty liver, constipation, headaches, including migraines. It alters the mind's ability to think clearly, depression, hormonal imbalance, blood clots. You would say, why doesn't everybody... Churches are filled with people suffering. And God said, I'll put none of the diseases of the Egyptians upon you. But if you want to live like an Egyptian, you're going to suffer like one. And God's people are suffering today because they don't have self-control. Because they follow the false prophets in the advertising media and they want to believe. See, it's not that you don't suspect that everything I'm saying is true. If you're in denial right now, it's because you want to be in denial. You understand? You want to believe what these people tell you because it allows you to continue your lifestyle. When if you would find out to eat God's food the way God intended and eat His honey and His fruits and His berries and His grapes, what more could anybody ask for? How can there be anything better than that? Dr. Robert Bessler in 1912 says modern manufacturing of sugar has brought about entirely new diseases. If in former times sugar was so costly that only the wealthy could afford to use it, it was of no consequence. But today, when because of its low cost, sugar has caused a degeneration of the people, it is time to insist on a general enlightenment. It has left its mark on the human race. Dufty cites a story about a shipwreck of a sugar vessel in 1793. They were stranded for 9 days. Many of you have fasted for 9 days easily. But these guys, when they were found 9 days later, were in a wasted condition, almost starved to death. This caused some scientists to study this issue, and they realized that sugar is worse than nothing. As they sat there and ate that sugar cane, what it did was depleted what nutrients they did have. So when you could fast for 7 days, drink a little bit of water, you could go for weeks this way. But these men were about to die because they were eating that sugar cane seed. It leaches the vitamins you already have. As we close, I'm going to read you two verses, two passages of Scripture. 3 John 1, Beloved. And this is all about love. It really is. If you get your feelings hurt, I'm sad because you get your feelings hurt. But, you know, I raise children. It doesn't make much difference to me. You'll get over it. See? One way or the other. Because the goal is to have you healthy. Amen? The goal is to tell you the truth. Now, if you want to believe false prophets, this is America. Go believe them. But I want to be a faithful pastor to you. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Which is, by the way, I want your soul to prosper also. So it is a Christian minister's goal to wish above all things that the people in the congregation the Lord has put him in will be healthy. And if a pastor doesn't want this for his people, for his brothers and sisters, what kind of pastor is he? You understand? Psalms 103 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. I think today we're guilty of forgetting the Lord's benefits. Number one, who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Well, we hear a lot of good preaching on that, and praise God. Who healeth all thy diseases. Uh-oh, we're going to forget that one. Now, you might have some Pentecostals that say, oh, yeah, amen. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. We believe in that one. Now, this goes a little deeper than just you getting anointed with oil and walking. I know God can do that. But, friend, if you walk out of here with a Coke bottle, you can get down here on your face and pray and pray and pray. And if you're going to go live contrary to God's standards, that's why you go to Pentecostal churches. They're all dying like everybody else. See? And I believe in healing. God doesn't have to use any of this. God can heal you just like that. And we've seen Him do it. But many times God uses means. Sometimes He tells the king, take a fig leaf and put it on you and get healed. See? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Where does good health come from according to God? From one of His benefits. What's one of His benefits? He not only provides for you to get food, He gives you an instruction manual in how to eat it. So let's go to God. You say, how am I gonna eat? Pray for your daily bread. See, that's the problem in America. We never had to really pray for food. You just go down to Walmart and you get your food. But when you start understanding the health implications of food, you start understanding, I need to pray for my food. Lord, if I'm gonna feed my family and stay away from poison, God, please provide for me. And God always has. In miraculous ways, in almost impossible ways, I've been able to feed my family, plus build a church here, and pay off a church mortgage. And looking back, I don't know how we did it. God did it. You understand that? You did it. And I don't know how you did it. But yes, I do. I mean, I don't know what means. I know the source. It's God. So God's book is filled with what to eat, how to eat, how to stay away from too much honey, how to have self-control, how not to be addicted to anything. All of that's Bible today, folks. And it's good Bible. And you live by every word of God. And if you neglect some of these words, you're not going to live. Okay? So people are dying. One of the main reasons is they're neglecting God's words. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, we thank You for the good things You've given us, Lord. We thank You for fruits and figs and dates and palm sugar, Lord. We thank You for honey. We thank You for all the wholesome sweets You've given us, Lord. But Lord, I don't want to see these people sick. I don't want to see them having emotional turbulence and turmoil. I don't want them to have these adrenaline rushes and these chemical imbalances in their body, Lord. And oh God, just help them, please. Help us all, Father, to grow in wisdom, to try and test these false prophets out here in the marketing world, Lord, who are speaking with authority about things that You have already spoken about authoritatively, Lord. You are God and You are our Lord, and You have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And let us rebuke, Father, these false prophets of our day who for the love of money are destroying people, coming to kill and destroy and steal from them their life. Help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank You for the blood that gives us forgiveness of sins. Now let us live in such a way by Your power to glorify You. In the name of Jesus, amen.